Hey guys, you are listening to Fabienne's Morning Show. As many of you will know, I'm here on 1Live every week to talk to you guys about all kinds of things you have on your mind. I hope you all have an exciting week with our new topic. We are going to talk about things you can do during your gap year. In about 5 months, a few of you will finish school and not all of you know what exactly to do after the Abitur. It is a great opportunity to travel around the world and learn about different cultures or to commit a volunteer social year. After our interviews with different students, you might have learned about new possibilities and you can finally start planning your gap year. Today we are at the Heinrich Heine University in Düsseldorf, and two students of English, Katja and Valentin, were so friendly and talked about their experiences with us. Hi Kati, hi Valentin, nice to meet you. First of all, we would like to know what you did after you finished school.
Hey Fabienne, thanks for having us on your show this morning. So I've always had the dream to go to England after school, just to improve my English and find out more about their culture. I also really wanted to get out of my hometown city, so that was the perfect time to leave it for a year. So I made the idea come true and started looking for possible jobs in London, and immediately knew that au pairing was the best option for me because I used to work with children and absolutely enjoyed doing that.
That sounds very interesting. We will come to your experience again in a bit, but first Valentin can let us know what he did.
Thanks for having me here today. I did something a little less conventional after school. Usually everyone knows at least someone who visits Australia or New Zealand after Abitur. I have always liked Japanese culture and food, and so I decided to go travel around southern Japan all by myself for a couple of weeks. And it did turn into a modern type of adventure, if I might say so.
How so?
Well, I had a bit of a rough start after I found out at the airport that my luggage got lost, and I was sort of stranded in Kyoto in the middle of the night, 30 degrees Celsius, the air filled with the sound of cicadas, and a humidity unknown to me at the time, without any clothes to change for 10 days. But don't worry, I soon bought some clothes once I got over the jet lag. But it went uphill from there. I met a lot of amazing and kind people and made a lot of great memories. I visited the city of Hiroshima, which is the place where the first atomic bomb was dropped. I ate a lot of Japanese dishes like shark sashimi, which is raw shark, or grilled oxen tongues. I visited several islands, actually, full of friendly deer you can pet, and I went hiking through the wilderness of Shikoku, which is the smallest of the four main islands of Japan, for a day, accompanied by an old Japanese man who kept talking to me in Japanese, and I don't know what he said to me, but he just kept talking, and I just smiled and nodded at him. And at one point, he also bought me drinks at the vending machines you can find literally anywhere in Japan.
Wow, that sounds also very exciting. What about you, Kati? Tell us a bit more about your job as an au pair.
So I basically had to care for three children aged 1, 5, and 7, and I was lucky enough to develop a great close relationship with the whole family, and especially the kids, which made living with them really easy. The smallest one, called Nancy, stayed at nursery all day, so I only had to look after Trixie and Sam, two very funny children, and most of the time they even got along, which also made working with them a lot easier for me. I had to bring and pick the two up from school, take them home, prepare their lunch, and then I had to keep them entertained until their parents got back from work in the evening. I really enjoyed the time with them and had so much luck with this family.
You were really lucky then to have such a nice family, but we all know that working with children isn't always easy and fun. Did you have any bad experiences?
Yeah, there was one day where I got woken up by Trixie because she wanted me to plait her hair. So I started to brush it first and saw black and white little things everywhere and freaked out. I never experienced head lice before, so I was totally overwhelmed and took her down to her mom and made her look at it. As the kids have had them before, she reacted very calm and explained me what to buy and do to get rid of them. That was probably the worst experience I've had because I had no clue how to deal with stuff like this, but in the end, I eventually managed the whole situation.
Well, that doesn't sound like fun, but I'm glad you made it. And how about your financial situation? How much did you earn and what did you do with your money?
For working all day from Monday to Thursday, I earned £120 per week, which at that time was a lot of money for me to spend on the weekends. I met a lot of other nice people and actually became best friends with a girl that I have spent all of my weekends with. We originally planned to travel around England from that money, but always ended up somewhere in London, wasting all of our money on clothes, food, and so much more. I actually can't remember right now.
And what about you, Valentin? What did you do to finance your trip?
The most expensive part for me was the traveling tickets, but I planned the whole trip months in advance, and I already did the math to have somewhat an outlook on how much the trip is going to cost. The plane tickets, a 3-week rail pass, the accommodations. So I started to save up money for over a year, and I asked for money for Christmas and his birthday gifts, but I also earned some money tutoring kids. The trip was more expensive than anticipated, but due to the airline losing my luggage for so long, they had to pay me quite a lot for the inconvenience. However, I would under no circumstances rely on your airline losing your luggage to finance a trip.
Oh, I can imagine. Everyone who has ever flown knows the fear of losing their luggage. Maybe some of our listeners have now decided to go to England or even to Japan too. Do you have any recommendations for them? Any locations that aren't to be missed?
For London, I recommend 2 locations that everyone should go and see. So my favorite place to just sit and relax was Primrose Hill. It's the best spot to come out of the packed city and just have a nice little picnic with a view all over the city of London. Another place that I really love is Camden Market, an awesome spot to try food from all over the world and also the best area to stroll around and just look at unique shops and people. If you're ever there, you definitely have to try Turkish wraps. They are just the best.
And what is a place you would definitely recommend visiting in Japan?
Tough question. I loved so many of the places and often promised the people there to return one day. However, 3 places I reckon are a must-see, which is Kyoto and the temples and shrines there, the city of Hiroshima and the memorial and museum there, and the deer roaming the streets of the old city of Nara. I really enjoyed just sitting in a park surrounded and petting deer all day long.
That sounds really cool. Thanks for sharing your experiences with us. Tomorrow we will visit the University of Cologne and we are going to interview 2 students of biology who traveled around New Zealand. Be excited to hear about more exciting gap years. Now let's listen to some Christmas music to put everyone into a festive mood for Christmas. Here's Ram with Last Christmas.